Turn with me in God's Word this morning to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts as we begin to read at the 42nd verse. Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, and the people invited them to speak further on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first, since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, your word unfailingly speaks us by your Spirit. Grant now that he who is our Master might instruct us as disciples in the way of faith, in the pathway of life, that we might abide in Jesus Christ and learn of him who is our Lord. For we pray in his name. Amen. Dealing with blessing is much easier than dealing with discouragement. And yet the reality is that the Christian life has both blessing and discouragement as a part of what the Lord brings into our experience. Here we see two who are servants of God, Paul and Barnabas, taste of the blessing of God. They have traveled on this, the first missionary journey, to the place in which we are able to hear them preaching. They've come to Pisidian Antioch, and as Paul preaches his first message, it is with such startling clarity that the people invite him back the following Sabbath to speak in the synagogue. And yet, as there are those who have been moved by the Spirit of God, moved by the gospel, so that they want to love the Lord Jesus and follow him, so there are also others who are stirred up against the gospel, who hate everything they have heard. We're told they were jealous when on the following Sunday a great crowd from the city gathered to hear what Paul and Barnabas would say. The Jews obviously prayed that their own influence would wane and their own message would falter, began to speak against Paul, arguing with him and ultimately seeking to have him expelled from the city. Paul and Barnabas knew blessing, for they saw the converts, they saw those whose hearts were moved, who loved Christ. And to them, their ministry was one of encouragement. They urged them to continue in the grace of God, for these had been born of God's grace. And now they were to continue under the Spirit in the way of the Lord. And there was encouragement, encouragement to anyone who is called of God to speak his message. Any Christian is encouraged to see how others respond to the word and grow in Christ. But there's also discouragement. Discouragement that comes when you see people whose is a stop to the gospel. And as a consequence, they respond not simply by rejection, but with hostility, with hatred, and with a vitriol poured against those who preach the gospel. And everyone who's a Christian this morning has known both the joy of encouragement in Christ and seeing Christians grow. They've known also the discouragement that comes when people stop their ears, are deaf to the gospel, simply not interested when you talk about the things that are most important to you, about the way in which Christ is Lord and Master. And not only do they say they want nothing to do with the things of Christ, they resent the fact that you speak to them. And then they begin a campaign to undercut everything that you're saying, to attack character, to dismiss the message, to belittle both message and messenger, and to try and still the gospel. That's part of the response, not simply of the first century, but of the 21st century. Those who do not want to hear are not simply apathetic, but hostile to God and to His Word. Paul and Barnabas found both encouragement and opposition in the gospel ministry. No doubt the success of the earlier messages had encouraged but had also made angry, and the threat of opposition became real. We know that. In theory, all of us know that loving Christ and serving Christ will bring us into the hostility of the world, and that we will face the envy and the war with this world. But when it becomes real, when that which is theoretical becomes a part of the way in which our own hearts are touched, our own lives are touched, when people begin to speak against us, when the whispering campaign to destroy character and message enters into our experience, when we're ostracized by those who are in great need and yet who reject the answer the gospel has, when the offense of the gospel becomes real in our experience, for many of us, it freezes our response. And we simply say, I'm not prepared for this. I'm not ready to be shunned. I don't know why I am facing this sort of hostility. And for many of us, we turn around and say, well, the response that we bring is that we will stop talking to people and we will let our lives win others. Paul says very simply, think again. You can't do that. That's a defeat of the gospel. The gospel is not simply lived. The gospel is announced. Not only from pulpits, but from the lives of every man and woman in whom Christ is alive. The gospel is announced by word as well as by deed. And for Christians who want a painless proclamation, there is only a challenge. For as we encounter the unbelieving ears of this world, Paul reminds us that there is a response. The first thing that we have to be clear about is that in the face of unbelieving, stopped-up ears, the Christian is to speak boldly. Quite the opposite of the way in which we want to respond. In the face of opposition, Paul and Barnabas exercised their freedom in Christ and answered the people who were attacking them. And we are told they answered them boldly. You see, Paul and Barnabas knew that they were called of God. They were called because the gospel had taken hold of them. They had been commissioned because they had been brought to life by Christ, to take that life to the lifeless, to preach the gospel to those who lived in darkness. And so they were sent first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And when they faced the opposition of those who didn't want to hear, They didn't retreat. They said very simply, "You do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life." What Paul is saying to those who have opposed him is an answer to those who live in this world. For these had been saying to Paul, "We don't need your gospel. We are content to trust the fact that by our goodness, by our effort, by our striving, by the decency of our life, by the code of conduct that we adopt, by the regularity of our worship, we will attend synagogue, we will keep law, and we'll take our chance before God, because we believe that by our good effort, by our struggle, by our attempt to do well, God will listen, answer, forgive, and accept." All this rather than accept the gospel of grace. For what Paul had preached to them was that God had come in Jesus Christ, the God who was outraged by sin and by sinner, a God who in love had determined to send his own son to bear the consequence of human sin, and who on the cross received the punishment that was yours and mine. This same God in mercy and love had borne his own judgment, and by the ministry of God's Spirit, the sinless Christ had imputed to him the sin that was yours and mine, and the righteous Christ had imputed his righteousness to you and to me who lack it. That's the gospel, the great transaction, and it is all of grace. And so when you say, "What must I do to be saved?" the answer is, you can't do anything. God's grace is free, his mercy is clear. And those who heard the gospel said, "We'd rather try harder. We'd rather trust to good deeds, to noble efforts, to strength of character, and to the purposeful life. We'll trust to regularity of worship. We'll trust to obedience to the law. And we will be saved." And Paul looked at them and said, "You reject the gospel and you embrace the law, and the law can only condemn you." You know, that's the same argument that most of us hear every day in one way or another. People who hear the gospel would rather trust to themselves than to the mercy of God. Paul saw it was not new. It is not new in our generation. The war between grace and the legalism that holds captive the soul. Ritualism, constant attention to worship. Legalism, the attempt to please God by our own effort, will always be the enemies of the gospel. Paul knew that, and he battled it. And we have to do the same. Christians cannot be still with the gospel. We have been born of God in order that we shall announce that good news. You cannot be quiet. Speak boldly of Christ, for he has accepted you freely by grace. And it is the gospel of grace that you announce. But not only are we called to speak boldly, we are called also, as Paul and Barnabas did, to live confidently. Oh, they knew what it was like to be discouraged. And many of us, if not all, have faced the reality of discouragement. They come, these challenges in the Christian life, and we ought not to try and deny their reality. And you know, the challenges that come, the discouragements that touch our soul, have a disproportionate influence in most of us. You can have 6 good days and 1 bad day, and what do you remember? 1 bad day. And the number of discouragements, though they may not match the number of encouragements, have this huge impact on your mind and your thinking and your soul. Discouragement is real. It is to be faced. It is a part of our life. I sometimes think that it is God's gift to us because it pricks the bubble of self-confidence and reminds us that we are frail and mortal and driven back to Him. Discouragements drive us to the mercy of God to find our encouragement afresh from Him, not from what we do. But discouragements can tempt us to imagine that the Lord is no longer in control. They can tempt us to become the source of sin, to imagine that God is not in all things working out His good purpose in the lives of those that love Him. While Paul and Barnabas faced discouragements, they could still live confidently. And that's part of the Christian response. It doesn't come easily, but it is something that is real. David Brainerd, perhaps the first and the greatest of pioneer missionaries, American missionary, man who, when he was 28, had finished his ministry and died of tuberculosis as he took the gospel to North American Indians. David Brainerd had known discouragements for the whole of his ministry. He came to Christ and as a young man at 21 was admitted to Yale University. And there he sought to serve Christ. He was enthusiastic about the gospel. He wanted to preach it and tell others of the love of Christ. And the faculty at Yale passed a faculty-driven amendment to their constitution that suggested that anyone who ever criticized the faculty should be fined. And when the faculty criticized the student body for loving Christ too much and being too enthusiastic about evangelism, they fined that Christian body. So David Brainerd complained and he said of one of his teachers, there is more grace in a chair than in him. The sharp tongue never gets you anywhere. They threw him out. They refused to let him graduate. They barred him from every pulpit. He was discouraged by those who owned the name of Christ, as well as those who didn't. But he went to the only place left for him to go, to the Indians on the mission field, and he preached Christ. And there was a glorious revival. And many found the Lord, and in his short ministry, deprived of everything he had imagined, he was able to see the hand of God. Oh, there's discouragement, and you'll face it if you haven't. And you'll know the reality of discouragement. They come upon the soul. But we can still live confidently. For God is still sovereign and master. He has still spoken His word and said to His own, "My grace is sufficient for you. It is made perfect in weakness." And when we are weak, we find the sufficiency of His grace. No matter what happens, we can still be confident. Paul and Barnabas knew what it was to find the false accusations drive them from a city in which there had been great hope of blessing. They had sacrificed a lot to preach in Pisidian Antioch. Paul had sacrificed his very health on that journey. Weakened, sick, he still preached. And amidst the success, he found the use of undue influence. Those who were powerful were reached. And he and Barnabas were expelled. No charge, no fault, but influence drove him out. Oh, he had sacrificed. It seemed to be so destructive to the gospel ministry. But he was not lacking in confidence. He and Barnabas bowed before the reality of what Providence had given to them. And we see them still in the midst of suffering reverse, leaving for Iconium. And there, it just got worse. It seemed that whenever they were at work, the enemy was constantly dogging their footsteps. But though they faced discouragement, they were not without confidence in God. Oh, you say, it's all very well. You can speak about that, but you have to deal with the reality of what that encouragement and discouragement does to the soul. When you're constantly facing people who are deaf and who are hostile and who are fighting you and Christ and the gospel, what do you do? Paul tells us. He says very simply, you respond by leaving a testimony. We're told they shook the dust from their feet. Now, that was given as a formal protest at the way in which they were being treated. It was in response to what Jesus had said, if people don't welcome you, shake the dust from off your feet when you leave their towns, as a testimony against them. It's a way of saying that here was the marker given. Paul and Barnabas may have been forced out of this city, but they left behind them a testimony, and it was the gospel of Christ. And they had preached it faithfully. Oh, ears may have been stilled. But one day, who knows what that gospel will have reaped in the hearts of those in need. They left a testimony, and that's all you can do. You can argue. You can preach, you can be faithful, but if you're dealing with those who will have unbelieving and stopped ears, you simply leave the testimony. You've spoken the truth. You've shared the love of God in Christ. You've done it. Do it. Let it be the gospel that you speak. Let it be Christ that drips from your mouth. Let it be the love of God that breaks out of your heart and is sunshine of your soul. Leave that as the testimony that you have been faithful. But more, they moved on. They went, we are told, to Iconium. Paul and Barnabas knew that the world was dying in sin, needed Christ, and if Antioch didn't want the message, then they would move on to Iconium. And if Iconium didn't want it, they would move on to Lystra. And they would still keep going, for there was a darkness in the world and a death that breathed in that darkness. And they had the light of Christ. And they would carry it to those who would hear. And they would speak it to those who would respond, and they would do it unfailingly, for they had been commissioned by their master to go into all the world, and they would not stop. One part wouldn't listen, then they would move to those whose hearts had been softened and prepared by the Lord. They moved on. For many of us, we can speak the gospel, but move on. You can't simply stop when someone says, well, we don't want it. And you linger and say, well, until they have responded, I'm not going anywhere. Not saying anything, not doing anything. Then move on. Let your light shine wherever you go. And as they did that, we're told, they received. They received the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and there was a joy in their soul. They were filled with joy. God was their comfort. It was as though Paul said that because they had been badly treated, the Lord whispered in their ear and was their Lord. Master had said, if they persecuted you, no, they persecuted me before you. And it was the joy of the knowledge that they served yet the Savior, whose sovereign love never failed, whose care was never absent. And they receive the joy, the comfort, the ministry of the Holy Spirit as they walked faithfully before God. And that's the gift that comes to believers, to receive the comfort of God, not the comfort of this world, not the success stories that abound, but the whispered word of God that said, faithful servant, I am still your Lord. Oh, they could probably never have raised their support with the record of successes that they had. They couldn't have written those wonderful letters that often comes to us that speak seemingly of the revival throughout the whole world that we don't see.